There was a sudden commotion at the back door, and a blast of cold air, much stamping and noises of loud shivering. Max stuck his head into the room from the passage. His long hair was wet and white-starred.
"Sorry I'm late, Mum. I had to walk from the common."
"Wow, you should see it out there, like a blizzard." He looked at the blank row of faces and grinned.
"Don't you know it's snowing?"
Forgetting everything for a moment, Will gave a joyful yell and scrambled with James for the door.
"Real snow? Heavy?"
"I'll say," said Max, scattering drops of water over them as he unwound his scarf. He was the eldest brother, not counting Stephen, who had been in the Navy for years and seldom came home.
"Here."
He opened the door a crack, and the wind whistled through again. Outside, Will saw a glittering white fog of fat snowflakes. No trees or bushes visible, nothing but the whirling snow. A chorus of protest came from the kitchen.
"Shut that door!"
"There's your ceremony, Will," said his father. "Right on time."
Much later, when he went to bed, Will opened the bedroom curtain and pressed his nose against the cold window pane, and he saw the snow tumbling down even thicker than before. 2 or 3 inches already lay on the sill, and he could almost watch the level rising as the wind drove more against the house. He could hear the wind, too, whining round the roof close above him and in all the chimneys. Will slept in a slant-roofed attic at the top of the house. He had moved into it only a few months before, when Stephen, whose room it had always been, had gone back to his ship after a leave. Until then, Will had always shared a room with James. Everyone in the family shared with someone else.
"But my attic ought to be lived in,"
his eldest brother had said, knowing how Will loved it. On a bookcase in one corner of the room now stood a portrait of Lieutenant Stephen Stanton, RN, looking rather uncomfortable in dress uniform, and beside it a carved wooden box with a dragon on the lid, filled with the letters he sent Will sometimes from unthinkably distant parts of the world. They made a kind of private shrine. The snow flurried against the window with a sound like fingers brushing the pane. Again Will heard the wind moaning in the roof, louder than before. It was rising into a real storm. He thought of the tramp and wondered where he had taken shelter.
"The walker is abroad. This night will be bad."
He picked up his jacket and took the strange iron ornament from it, running his fingers round the circle, up and down the inner cross that quartered it. The surface of the iron was irregular, but though it showed no sign of having been polished, it was completely smooth. Smooth in a way that reminded him of a certain place in the rough stone floor of the kitchen, where all the roughness had been worn away by generations of feet turning to come round the corner from the door. It was an odd kind of iron. Deep, absolute black, with no shine to it, but no spot anywhere of discoloration or rust. And once more now, it was cold to the touch. So cold, this time, that Will was startled to find it numbing his fingertips. Hastily he put it down. Then he pulled his belt out of his trousers, slung untidily as usual over the back of a chair, took the circle, and threaded it through like an extra buckle, as Mr. Dawson had told him. The wind sang in the window frame. Will put the belt back in his trousers and dropped them on the chair. It was then, without warning, that the fear came. The first wave caught him as he was crossing the room to his bed. It halted him stock still in the middle of the room, the howl of the wind outside filling his ears. The snow lashed against the window. Will was suddenly deadly cold, yet tingling all over. He was so frightened that he could not move a finger. In a flash of memory, he saw again the lowering sky over the spinney, dark with rooks, the big black birds wheeling and circling overhead. Then that was gone, and he saw only the tramp's terrified face and heard his scream as he ran. For a moment then, there was only a dreadful darkness in his mind, a sense of looking into a great black pit. Then the high howl of the wind died, and he was released. He stood, shaking, looking wildly round the room. Nothing was wrong. Everything was just as usual.